This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
Good morning. This is Pastor Bob, live, unscripted, and in living color, speaking from Studio A of the Amwell Church of the Brethren. Sounds like a big deal, doesn't it? But here we are sitting, I'm in my sweatshirt, here we are sitting in my living room. Sherry's with me today doing the calculations on the computer. Gene's at the piano. All's well with the world. Well, I don't know about that. But thank you very much for joining us this morning. And we're going to start out with hymn 482. Now, I know you don't have your hymnals in all likelihood, but it's When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. I know you will absolutely know the verse, or the chorus. So if you know the first and last verses, and I'll be leading, Sherry will be singing, and Gene will be playing. So here we go. Well, if you haven't recognized the singing about heaven, we're going to be talking about heaven today. And I just thought, with all that's going on in our country, with all of our minds focused on things that are finite, it'd be kind of great to get a glimpse of things that are infinite. Not just the things that are going on right now, but the things that go on in eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we're looking forward to that, and I just wanted to share some things about heaven that you may not know, some things that may be a reminder to you. But the important point is to remind us and encourage us that there's more to this life than being locked up in our house, finding bread shortages and water shortages in our supermarkets. But you know, God's in control, and our responsibility is to be faithful to Him in the good times and the hard times. And I know that you're trusting Him, and we're really encouraged by what we're seeing around us. So let's open up our time in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for the privilege that we have to meet in this fashion. It's not necessarily so comfortable, Lord. It's kind of different. It's not something we've done before. And so, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come through this phone and to the heart of folks, because it's your word that we're going to be speaking. And we know, Lord, that the Holy Spirit uses the word to bring encouragement and comfort and fill our minds with your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. So I pray your blessing upon my brothers and sisters who are listening. And I pray, Lord, that this will be an experience that we will have that sense of being connected to you and to one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're thinking that this is a novel idea, and it is, I would just like to tell you what Sherry told me over the last couple of days, and that is there are a whole slew of folks listening who are not part of the Amwell Church. Last count, something like 25 folks coming from different places. Hi, brothers living out in Vermont and Pennsylvania and Florida. We know you're on the air, and we thank you for being part of this morning. It's wonderful to be the universal body of Jesus Christ and then to be able to connect with no barriers. Only thing we can't do is see. Now, I don't know, you know, maybe some of you have your bathrobe on. I didn't shave today. What do you think of that? And as I said, I'm wearing comfy clothes, and I'm not used to that on a Sunday morning. By way of some announcements, now, you know, as this goes on, and as far as my prayers are concerned, this should be the last one. But in the event that it isn't the last one and we have to do this, I'd like to have us prepared with announcements for you, keep you guys in touch with what's happening. And I know the calendar is very limited, but there are things going on nevertheless. I'm thinking about doing a Wednesday kind of like 5-minute meditation to, again, keep the connection going in the middle of the week. So I'll let you know more about that. And we're also talking about a way to get your prayer requests, maybe over email or by telephone, so that when we do pray, the next time we can bring requests and make them known to one another and to the Lord. And that's kind of announcements, too, as to how folks are doing. So today, as I indicated, I'm going to be talking about heaven. And I know, again, that this is kind of it's no substitute. Listen, there's no substitute for, as a church, us being together and seeing one another and giving hugs to one another. But the reality is that we just can't do that right now. And the other reality is, you know, some churches maybe are holding services right now. But I just felt, and the leadership of the church felt, that we want to have a good testimony in the community. And we don't want to endanger others if that's the reality of the time we live in. So we want our testimony to be bright and strong for Jesus, telling the community that we're considerate of them and we're concerned not to be carriers of anything that might hurt them. And I think that's important. So we'll talk about heaven, and we realize that there are many implications to our life. You know, our life has got a time in God's hands, and Jesus is very much aware of that in his ministry, just how much of a reality the length of our days are all about. And so he speaks to that. One of the first places he does in John chapter 14, you know these verses. John 14, 1-3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You know how happy I am about that. If you're reading other translations, they say other apartments, other rooms. Why not mansions? If God says it's a mansion, I'm going to believe him. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. As Christians, we have a unique expectation of a wonderful life after death. Are you comforted by that? Does that encourage you? Because it sure encourages me. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 2 and 8. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Verse 8, for we are confident, and I say willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In other words, there's more to this than this. One historian writes this, that there were pictures on the catacomb. Now remember the tombs of the first century martyrs. There was a catacombs. It says, on those walls, they have pictures which portray heaven with beautiful landscapes, children playing, and people feasting at banquets. In AD 125, a Greek named Aristides wrote to a friend about Christianity explaining why this, quote, new religion was so successful. Quote, if any righteous man among the Christian passes from this world, they rejoice and offer thanks to God, and they escort his body with songs and thanksgiving as if he were setting out from one place to another nearby, end quote. Well, they are. Yes, we are. Polls consistently show 80% of Americans believe in heaven, and more than 60% believe in hell. But believing in heaven and anticipating heaven are two different things. I'd like to explore that place called heaven. And I say place because the Bible describes the promised home of the believer, heaven, as a literal, physical place. Heaven is misunderstood by some, denied by others, but it is the great expectation of those of us who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Here's two examples of the kind of polar opposite thinking that there is about heaven. Some of you may have heard of the science fiction writer Isaac Asimov, wrote a number of science fiction books. This is what he says, quote, I don't believe in the afterlife, so I don't have to spend my whole life fearing hell or fearing heaven even more. For whatever the torture of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse. What a mindset. What a way to live. Now here's the words of author Helen Keller. You remember she was a blind young woman, and she grew up and had faith in Jesus. Here's what she writes. For three things, I thank God every day of my life. Thanks because he has privileged me knowledge of his works. Deep thanks that he has set in my darkness the lamp of faith. Deepest thanks that I have another life to look forward to, a life joyous with light and flowers and heavenly song. A seminary-educated pastor once confessed to another pastor, whenever I think of heaven, I get depressed. I can't stand the thought of that endless tedium to float around in the clouds with nothing to do but strum on a harp. It's so terribly boring. Heaven doesn't sound much better than hell. I'd rather be annihilated than spend eternity in a place like that. Now, this quote demonstrates two realities, the complete misunderstanding of the biblical teachings about heaven, and the disastrous consequences of neglect on the part of seminaries and preachers to teach the biblical truths about heaven. In some churches, the people have never heard a single sermon about heaven, and in seminaries and many Bible schools across the country, the study of heaven is not even an elective. So, which is biblical? eternity in heaven is going to be a great adventure, or eternity in heaven is going to be a great bore. Six truths about heaven I'd like to share with you. Number one, eternity with Christ. This life after death will exceed our wildest expectations. So listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Quote, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now, Paul's writing about the gospel. Words could also be applied to heaven and eternity. On our own, we can't even begin to imagine what heaven will be like. But there are clues from Scripture that help us to imagine and visualize our eternal home. Here's Matthew 6, 19 and 20. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." Whatever joy, value, or security materialism offers us in this life, it is an illusion. At best, stuff can last for many years, but over time, most of our possessions wear out, break down, lose value, bringing only temporary gratification. But what God has for us as treasures in heaven will last for eternity. Even if you have a great life, with no sorrows, no regrets, no sickness, no disappointment, as if any of that was possible, God promises in eternity the best is yet to come. Now, what does that do to you? That really encourages my soul to think that whatever good is going on in my life, there's even something much better than that. The best is yet to come in heaven. In this life, we grow old. In heaven, we'll never grow old. In this life, our bodies deteriorate. Our eyes grow dim. Our bones shrink. Our mental acuity diminishes. That's just as teenagers. Our faces wrinkle. Somebody wrote, "I reached that age when a good day is one when you get up and nothing aches." I told this one to the men's Bible breakfast the other day, and they liked it, so I thought maybe you would too. This is interesting. I don't know if you're laughing or not. So if you're not, it doesn't bother me. I can't hear it. Listen to this one. "He's so old that when he orders a three-minute egg, they ask for the money in advance." Oh. These two ladies are laughing, so you've got to be doing it. Number two, in eternity, God has promised you an amazing new body. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. "For our conversation," and that's a word that means citizenship, "for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." Now, if you've been in Bible study over the years, and even on a number of Sunday mornings, I've shared that vision with you for many years. There are some physical